I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How okay. was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is. Yeah.
What's up? I'm Laura Currenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Edlandia.
We're coming off of a 24-hour trip in Las Vegas. We got to speak at the DMA and then conference thanks to our friends at Action IQ.
Thank you, Tasso and team.
To talk about data as a catalyst for creativity. And it was a great discussion with
one of our favorites, Nick Drake, who is going to join us on the show. Instead of speaking like, you know, the kind of PR talking points that we hear so much, he's one of those leaders who is amazingly natural, really quick-witted, but like so direct.
He is the uncarrier of marketers.
He's the uncarrier of marketers.
So that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. And now it feels like it's 3 weeks later, but it's the same week. And we're back in the studio and we have actually one of your clients who you've been raving about forever, Kimry Blackwelder from Kohan.
Yeah, I think where PR and comms are going in the industry is not having PR be this sort of afterthought output to go and break news about this first to market or most innovative thing you're doing, but to really think about the lens in which comms brings to development of assets, to thinking about what partners you're working with, how they might engage them to sort of amplify that idea. So I think it'd be really interesting to get her perspective.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is we talked to Kimry that I'm particularly like focused on right now is advertising has been desperately trying to move into a more natural place where it feels like earned communications.
Communication, right.
Right. And so at the end of the day, you know, I always question myself, like, are we organized in our kind of under our CMOs, typically at large organizations that have PR and, you know, PR comms and marketing in the right way? Because right. It's still like this kind of interesting process in terms of PR does this piece and marketing does this piece. And it's still like we're kind of still stuck backwards.
We'll be right back. So we have one of our favorite, most energetic hustlers in the industry, Kimry Blackwelder, joining us all the way from California on her vacation. Welcome to the show, Kimry.
Kimry.
Hi. Thank you. I am so excited to be on Adlandia.
Well, we're so
it's
excited.
My favorite podcast.
Yay. So we're so happy to have you. So Kimry, tell our listeners where you work and what you do.
I am the Senior Director of Global PR and Social at a wonderful brand called Kohan.
Which we love and we wear
yes.
very frequently.
Frequently.
Yes.
Kimry, thank you so much for calling in. Would love to talk about, at large, the world of communications and PR. Obviously, there have been so many factors and influences that have shaped and evolved your industry. But would love, before we get into that, for you to talk about your background.
The industry, as you know, is, and especially with PR, has changed drastically. I moved to New York right after college and joined a very traditional agency in their executive training program. I was invited to be a part of that. And that agency, Reuter Finn, which is still in existence, based out in New York, we went into a class. We had an executive training class. And when I say literally, we were in the building on 2nd Avenue and 57th, down in the basement. This was like PR 101, dropped down in the basement. And, you know, we were just typing, making content calendars, media lists. I mean, every traditional PR document. And that's all we did for multiple accounts. They just kept us down in the basement. And it was really crazy to look back on it. And then, you know, fast forward to that was very traditional, obviously, commercial PR. And then I evolved into actually fashion PR. And at a time when it was so traditional, you know, you were going, it was runway shows and press previews that was just for media and buyers. You do not have the street style bloggers and those digital influencers, you know, that was nowhere on the scene. And then I evolved to a very interesting role with a very dynamic woman, by the name of Amy Sacco, who was looking for a right hand that had experience in PR marketing events. She was known as Queen of the Night, and she had very exclusive spaces such as Bungalow 8. And we worked really closely with the fashion industry, publishing all the magazines, the art world. It was really the entertainment world. Obviously, celebrity was a huge part of that. I evolved. I worked at a magazine. I eventually landed at Cole Haan, and they were looking for someone that had media experience, celebrity events. And so I have watched the PR industry just evolve and been part of it. And I will honestly say I love where we are today is just really interesting, because there is, like I say, never a dull moment, and you have to be on your game. It used to be a puzzle that was just like, put the pieces together and this is how you do it. It is not like that. There's almost no rules, you know? The only rule you have to follow in this world of PR and comms is give the media the facts, right? That's our responsibility. We have to give them the correct information. How we get that information to them, the sky's the limit.
I mean, what does that look like?
I want to know what the craziest thing is that you've done to pitch.
Well, I want to get crazier. I don't think I've done my craziest thing
yet.
Yeah. This is like the thing. This like
I love that.
Gives me just like this is what gets me out of bed in the morning. I want to crack this thing of the modern day PR pitch, because I am the first one that wants to kill the traditional press release and all the typical jargon in it. Everyone is thrilled to launch something. Everyone is excited, and you could read one from, you know, a brand, and then read one from a tech company, and then read one from a pharma. They're all saying that that's the biggest thing, is figuring out how to pitch this media. And now that the media landscape has so drastically changed, is how do you stand out, right? How do you stand out? These editors, a lot of are getting, especially the digital editors, are getting 150 minimum pitches in their inbox a day.
Yeah.
And if you're a brand that maybe does not have a huge advertising budget, it's hard. The struggle is real. And you got to figure it out. I want to figure out like a short video spot that's just the pitch, you know, to do a really cool 15-second. Do it so that these editors that are inundated, they can listen to it. They don't even have to watch it. So I think it's figuring out video, audio of a short pitch.
I was just talking to the PR Newswire for one of my clients.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
And like, this is what kind of killed me. I was like, yes, we have to just do it, because we have to, like, you know, keep the subscription, because it's like table stakes.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, why am I getting text-based long-form press releases anymore? And by the way, this is for a technology company. I'm like, why are we doing this? Why is this?
Why isn't your press as innovative as your product?
Right. Yeah. What's our new benchmark for the press release? Like, what's our
exactly.
new thing?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to solve for, because the PR Newswire, I mean, I use them.
Everybody does.
But it doesn't, if you look at the analytics and the reports, it's not driving. It's not building a brand, and you're not getting quality coverage from them.
No.
And it's so yesterday, but everybody still does it, because I think they've made it so easy. You just kind of, here you go, here are your assets, here's the copy, you know?
Right.
But it's not what is moving the needle.
Yeah.
And we've got to figure that out in the industry, what it is. And it's like literally number one on my list of testing and learning and trying new things.
How have you thought about how you might bring in press, not when the project is necessarily finished, but from the beginning, so that people may have that sort of exclusive look as opposed to an exclusive break? Does that make sense?
it makes perfect sense. And it's another, other than killing that press release, it's the second most important thing to be at the beginning, you know, be there through the process, even the ideation. Like when you think about who are going to be your partners, you know, your media partners, be part of that first kickoff conversation. Be at the table, because you are able to capture, not only are you able to capture the journey, whether it's video, film, because people want a story, right? And right. They want to see how something's created. They just don't want to see it. Here's your product or your service on launch day, right? It's much more interesting. They feel like they're part of that journey. And everyone talk about like the behind the scenes content. Media love that. They were like, do you have any behind the scenes video? Do you have any behind the scenes stills?
Or bring
they
them
get
behind
more,
the scenes.
Yeah. Or you bring them behind the scenes. And I have done that. And I'm going to tell you, when I launched a campaign a couple of years ago, I brought in three different media outlets, and the coverage for that campaign was, and it's still talked about today. It's because we brought them in to set and had conversations that day, you know, they got to be part of it. And you know, some people get very skittish about that. Oh, we're showing too much, but we're in the age of digital. Everyone shows everything. So when you sit down with these partners from the get-go, and create these very brilliant campaigns, and is document it so you have it when you go to launch. It's just a better story. They're inundated with stories, and only yours will stand out if you have really layers to it.
Well, and it's interesting too, because it feels like earned value is a metric these days that is just as important as what you expect based on the guarantees of what you're buying, right? And so to me, by not having PR or comms at the table from the beginning, you're sort of diluting the impact of whatever it is that you're creating, knowing that everybody's like, what's our viral moment? And people are still asking that question. How do you create something that's going to drive
my eyes?
She did. But people are asking this. But what they're asking is, how do I generate earned value? So in the market, I think, you know, for every dollar that I'm putting in,
what am I getting out?
Right. What is going to be that incremental return? So oftentimes that really requires PR and comms to be at the table from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Right?
You take a media investment. So you have that investment, but you want it to always have legs. And that is the biggest thing when we go into our paid media partnerships. I'm sitting there at the table at the very beginning, like my mind is already racing. How does this have legs? How can, you know, for your term, take it viral? Where's their storytelling, earned storytelling here? And if you're not at that table at the beginning of those conversations, you're missing opportunity, you know? And it's something that you would think that PR and comms should always have a seat at the table. I have always believed this, because when the larger marketing teams hand things off, or their brand teams hand things off, you're like, wait, what? How am I going to maximize this? PR and comms need to always have a seat at that table from the get-go, from the initial kickoff all the way through execution, because there are moments that along the way that you can just keep on as things develop and as content develops with your partners, that you're constantly evolving.
Well, I think here's the thing for me, Kimberly, is like the story doesn't stop. Because the plan stopped. I mean, that's a whole other thing. And the funny thing is, Laura and I were in Vegas, baby, Vegas, earlier this week. It feels like 3 weeks ago, but we were there earlier this week with Nick Drake. And he was saying, you know, we used to work in this waterfall process. And he's like, the waterfall process is bullshit. And everything you just described, like in this simple, like we should have a seat at the table and someone's handing something off. Like to me, that whole like organizational flow is why people are asking, well, is this thing going to go viral? Instead of saying, is this a story, right? Is this an investment in the brand, in my consumer, and in what they care about me doing that is going to give us legs?
Yeah, people aren't thinking about the headline
right.
from the beginning.
Yeah, from the
and
beginning.
The best
yes.
work that we've done starts with the headline. And
I think it starts all with the headline. And yes, yes. And yes, yes.
And I think what's interesting about that, right, is I think, and you were starting to just allude to it, is like the content or the filter or the narrative that you know is going to sell in PR and to amplify that brand story isn't necessarily what a creative director is looking for, isn't necessarily what a media planner is looking for. So how do you deal with that tension?
The only way we're going to make it and keep and literally keep evolving is to keep learning and keep testing and trying. Always, obviously, it goes back to having a PR comms person at the table from the kickoff. But, you know, we're going to try, you know, we're going to test and learn lots of things. I think that we have, I think everyone in this PR industry, we have that permission. As long as we're giving the facts, the correct information to the media, how we get it out there, the world is our oyster.
And what are some things that you go, like ways you go about actually testing and learning from a PR comm standpoint?
I think you really have to do it on, I don't want to say like smaller announcements. You know, you can't start testing and learning when you've invested, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or media and in a campaign and talent and paid media. Now that's not the time to be testing something. But I think when companies and brands have a service or a product, you know, they're constantly putting things out, right? I mean, I work in the fashion lifestyle space, and we're always releasing something, you know, every month or every couple of months. Try it on, you know, a new product that maybe you're not, it doesn't have a campaign around it, but it's a next generation or an evolution.
I think when you think about it from like a work product, it's like you only see the giant campaign work. And if it's really kick ass and like you've got all this amazing coverage and you've done some really interesting things from a PR and comm standpoint. That usually starts because you did it. You started doing components and you laid the groundwork. And I don't think we think that way enough out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit of trusting your gut. Like, hey, you know, this has legs. I know this has legs. I preach this all the time. I have friends that mock me when I say this. And it's such a simple statement. Know your media and know their audience, right?
Yeah.
And if you know your media and your audience and you trust your gut, you know, that's where you go out and test and learn. Be like, that's where you should have that confidence.
Have you seen data, right? So a lot of the marketing decisions or sort of media planning and buying decisions these days have a higher dependency, obviously, on data-driven insights. Are you seeing that impact PR and comms, or do you still feel, or is it still something that really relies on how well you know the industry and that gut factor you were just talking about?
I look at, well, depending on what, if it's a law, a campaign launch, a product launch, et cetera, but really looking at the media, their reach, I look at all the media, their analytics, and then I look through past and say, oh, I know this media outlet drives a lot of traffic and sales, you know. So I'm really, from a strategic point, that's how I kind of pick the media to go out to when we like launch. But again, there's a lot of gray area still left to kind of uncover.
How does the role of influence impact that list and who you go to pitch, right? Can you talk about that tension that exists within influence and what that looks like when you're having to consider established media brand to sort of scaled individual?
Yes. Yeah. Influencer is part of my strategy for any of a launch of a campaign, a product, anything. That is right there. We build that out. You know, it used to be all about that top influencer, you know, the man repeller, you know, we love to talk about the man repeller, but those types of digital influencers. But what I've been really fascinated by and have really stuck into is looking at the micro influencers. I mean, it's just been eye opening. of what the power of a micro influencer. And obviously, you know, their rates are lower, but it's so interesting to watch how their engagement is high. And if you're a brand or a company that, you know, may not have big budgets, this is something you need to have into your launch strategy.
So you've really gone, I'm going to call it DTI, direct to influencer.
Yes.
So the press world is changing.
Because, yes, it's all changed. You know, there's no rules. Like, we're getting to use different, you know, and there's a lot more paid pieces to getting this earned media. They're such an important part. We do not do a launch without an influencer component to it.
So what skill set does a modern day PR comms person need to have to be effective?
Be aware, be out there in the world, living and listening and experiencing.
Well, we have to let you get back to your vacation.
But first, we're going to do our game.
Kill okay. by DIY. Kimry, what in the world would you kill? What would you buy? And what would you do yourself?
Okay, you know what I'm going to kill is the traditional press release. I'm
yeah,
so
okay.
sorry. That was a given. What am I going to buy? Oh, I might want to buy away. But what would I do myself? You know, I'm going to go back to, I'm going to figure out video, visual, audio pitches, short, sweet, you know, where you can engage. That's what I'm going to figure out. I've got to find some partners to do that.
Well, Kimry, if people want to get in touch with you to talk about that 15-second elevator video pitch, how do they get in touch with you?
They should get me at Kazza Kim, KAZZAKIM, at Kazza Kim.
On all social. Kimry, enjoy
yes.
your trip in California. Thank you so
Thank
much for
you.
Calling in.
Thank
this was
you,
a lot
Kimry.
Of fun. Thank you to Kimry Blackwelder for joining us, calling in on her vacation. The only thing we were missing from this episode were
spicy margaritas.
You said it.
So big thanks to Kimry. Thank you to friends and family at Panoply, our producer Dana, Matt Turk,
Andy Bowers. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Full disclosure, our opinions are our own.